Praise God. Well, we've been talking about healing, God at work, and we've talked about that for several weeks. We covered a bunch of stuff last week, so if you weren't here, I encourage you to listen to the recording. Talked about some things about judgment and how that applies throughout the Word and how it applies today. And so we've been talking about that God's will, His perfect will for us all, His perfect will is healing, always. He never, let's turn over to 2 Peter and let's just start there. We've read John several times about that. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. We read in Hebrews 10:38. Second Peter 3:9. Second Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's His will, is that none should perish. He's not willing that any should perish. He's not willing that anyone would go to hell. He's not willing that anybody would suffer sickness or disease or broken relationships or poverty. That's not His will. Now, do those things happen? Yeah, they happen. But that's not His will. That's never His will. That's not what He wants. Just because it happens on this earth, it's not what He would have happen. It's not what He wants. Ever. So we've been talking about that. And in different aspects. And so we covered, last week we talked some about judgment and the different areas in the Word where God does pass judgment on people, and that comes forth, but it's never His will. It's never what He wants to do. And we're not going to repeat those things. You can listen to the recording. But why don't you turn over to Second Corinthians chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. So this is another thing. Paul's thorn in the flesh. Some people would say, well, see, that was God's will. And He gave Paul that thorn in the flesh, and it was sickness and disease, and that was His will. And see, that shows that it's God's will sometimes that we're sick. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And then so you will hear this. People will say, well, what about Paul's thorn in the flesh? God gave him that thorn. And let's read a little bit. It says, lest I, let's go back to verse 7. It says, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. So you can go back to the beginning of verse or chapter 12. And he's saying how, well, let's just read it. Verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1. It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. He's talking about himself. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. Now when you see infirmities, it doesn't mean sickness. It means weakness. Literally, it means weakness. Verse 6, he says, though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation. So he had revelation directly from the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus appeared to him and gave him this revelation. It says, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. And he says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. So he asked God. And this is what the Lord's response was. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So he says, I asked the Lord, and he said he wouldn't take it away. So people will teach. See, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and it was sickness, and he asked for God to take it away, and the Lord's answer was, no, you can get through it. I'm with you, and my grace is sufficient for you. And so they basically had to keep him humble. Well, okay, let's look at that. Number one, verse 7. Look back at verse 7. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Now, let's look at a couple other scriptures. Hold your finger in 2 Corinthians. Go back to Numbers 33. So, we ought to interpret the Bible by the Bible. You let other verses interpret the Bible for you. Don't just go off and make something up and say this, what this means. You can make any verse mean almost whatever you want, or you put a few verses together, you can teach almost anything. But everything has to agree with everything else. And this is something we need to keep in mind. We talked about some things last week. You can't, if you see something that doesn't seem to settle with your theology, you need to settle it and look at other things and say, how does it gel with all of Scripture? And if something's sticking out to you, see, this is why we have the Word of God. If you hear somebody teach something, or you think you see something in the Word, but there is something nagging at you about something somewhere else in the Word that's like, what about this? What about this? What about this? Don't just ignore it. Because if it doesn't line, now you may not understand. I'm not saying if you hear someone preach something that you don't understand, just throw it out. But go back to the Word and say, well, what does the Word say? And if you hear somebody preach something, or you hear me teach something, or anybody, and you say, well, what about this? This seems to contradict this part in the Word. You can't ignore that. It's got to line up. One, and God's Word lines up. There are no mistakes. There are no contradictions. It's just that, you know, anytime we think we found a contradiction, it just means we don't understand everything. Our limited understanding is thinking, well, I don't see how this all fits together. Well, that should be no surprise, that we don't see how everything fits together. But that doesn't mean, you know, the Word of God is wrong and the Word of God's just written by man. It means we have limited understanding. So turn back to Numbers 33:55. Now, Paul uses this phrase. He says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. A thorn in the flesh. That's the way He said it, right? It says Numbers 33. In Numbers 33, 55. Now this is talking, the Lord's telling the Israelites, as you're going into the promised land, he's given some instructions. Verse 55, it says, but if you do not drive out. So go back. He's telling them, go back to verse 51. He says, speak to the children of Israel, he's telling Moses, and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, destroy all their engraved stones, destroy all their molded images, demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess. And you shall divide the land by lot as an inheritance among your families. To the larger you shall give a larger inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give a smaller inheritance. There everyone's inheritance shall be whatever falls to him by lot. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. Verse 55, but if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Okay? Notice what it says. It says, the people, if you don't do what I tell you to do with these people, they're going to stay there, and these people are going to be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides. Now let's go over to another one. Joshua 23:13. Joshua 23:13. Joshua 23:13, actually let's go back to verse 9. It says, for the Lord has driven out from you before you great and strong nations, but as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them and they into you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. He said, if you go back and you go and mingle with these people, then these people, he said, verse 13, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out. So if you're going to make friends with them and intermarry and all this stuff, he said, the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you and scourges on your sides and thorns in your eyes. Who's going to? The people. That's what he's saying there. These people are going to be a pain in your neck, as we would say. Judges 2:3. Let's go there. Judges 2:3. Actually, let's go back to verse 1. We'll just read it, same way we read those other ones. Judges 2, verse 3. Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you up from Egypt and brought you to the land of which I swore to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. So he's saying the same thing. You shall tear down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. They shall be thorns in your side. Who's going to be thorns in your side? People are going to be thorns in your side. So go back to Corinthians. Second Corinthians 12:7. It says, lest, everybody there? It says, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. So what does it say? It says a thorn in the flesh. It's the same type of phrase. And we see from the Word of God, this phrase that he's using, we read it three times, it was always, people are going to be a pain for you. They're going to be your enemies. They're going to follow you. They're going to mess with you. And if you go back and look through Acts, you'll see that Paul was harassed wherever he went by these Judaizers. They kept following him, and he would come into a town, and then they would stir up the crowds, and then Paul would get run out or whatever. They'd go and take him out of the city and stone him. You know, if Paul was as sickly as some people say he was, how in the world? I mean, for a strong person to go through all the stuff that he went through, to get stoned, left for dead, probably raised from the dead, because they left him for dead. I mean, they were trying to kill him. Why would they walk away unless they thought he was dead? But they left him for dead, and they came back. And it says the disciples gathered around him. He could easily have been raised from the dead, and probably, I believe, he was raised from the dead. If you were just sick all the time, I mean, there's no way you go through shipwrecks, and you're in the sea, and you're getting stoned, and you're getting beaten, but, you know, you're just sick all your life. That doesn't even make any sense. If you look at it like that. No, but these guys were just like what was in the Old Testament, where God said, if you don't kick these people out, they're going to be pains for you everywhere you go. And these guys were the exact same thing to Paul. It did not say anything about sickness in the Old Testament that we just read, and it doesn't say anything about sickness here. You have to add to the Scriptures to come to that conclusion. And you can go, people read into other stuff in different areas. There is nowhere in the Word of God that in the New Testament, in Paul's writings, that it says anywhere that he was sick. You have to read into it. You have to make it up. It doesn't say it. And you can't just add stuff to the Scripture. I don't care that tradition says it. I mean, if there's something that we believe that we're just like, well, why do we believe that? Why do we believe that? We have to have Scripture. I know I've said this before, but for something to be scriptural, what do you need to have for it? Scripture. You need to be able to point to some verses and say, here, why do we believe this? This one, and this one, and this one. If you're saying, we believe it, somebody says, why? Pastor Jim preaches it. That's not good enough. You have to be able to go back to the Word. Don't take my word for it. My word, and the end does not mean anything unless I'm quoting God. I'm saying in relation to truth. I don't dictate truth. Nobody on the radio or TV or internet dictates truth. People can make up whatever they want and say it's true, and we're all going to get, you could get 40,000, 50,000, 100,000, million people to believe the same thing, and that does not make it real. And that does not make it right. It doesn't matter. People say, well, I don't like that. I don't like what's in the Word of God. So we're going to go believe this, and we're going to say the Word of God says this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the truth. We have to know what the Word of God says. So here, I mean, you just read this, with an honest eye, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. Number one, why was it given to him? Why did it come at him? To keep him from getting the word out, that he would be exalted. That doesn't mean he's just puffed up. It means that he's seen by people. Lest people go to him and see that this is the word of God. It says, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan. See, right there, it's a messenger of Satan. So what? God is not telling Satan to go do things. And we've read that Satan is the destroyer. He goes about doing things. So why, if it's a measure, it's a messenger of Satan, and it's given to him to because of the abundance of the revelations, and these guys are going with him from town to town to town trying to shut him up and try to rile up trouble, it is just completely in line with Scripture and completely logical that with the Old Covenant with the other parts of the Bible that we read, it's a thorn in the flesh, was constantly people, and Paul was using a thing. Paul knew the Scriptures. Only Paul knew the Scriptures, that he had read certain things. And this is a saying, like we would use pain in the neck. Just because you say I has a pain in the neck doesn't mean your neck is literally painful. Well, that's a, you know, so-and-so, it's a pain in the neck. Oh, you mean God gave you something in your neck to teach you something? How do you get that conclusion? Well, religion. People have help to believe this kind of stuff. Supernatural help. It's not God. Verse 8 says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. So he's saying, would you get these people off my back? And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. We are not redeemed from persecution. They can't take you out unless you lay down your life. People have done that. It says that in Hebrews. People laid down their lives and they obtained a better resurrection. Not going there, but you know. But that's laying your life down. You don't have to be afraid of somebody taking your life. Nobody took Jesus' life. He laid his life down. So people are afraid that people are just going to do stuff and they're going to come in and take your life. People can't take your life. Now you can lay it down. And if you were asked to lay it down and you would do that, I mean, people have done that for Jesus. And people have become saved. But, you know, there's no reason to be afraid that somebody's just going to come in and knock down your door. No, we do have protection. So we don't have to yield to that. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So, you know, Paul does not like getting harassed everywhere he goes. The devil's trying to stop him, stir up trouble. But God, you know, Paul went to the Lord, and the Lord said, when you're weak, then you're strong. Look to me. We'll get you through it. And that's exactly what he did. He got harassed everywhere he went. He got beat up, but he just kept going. They could not stop him. They could not stop him. They could not stop the word from going forth. He says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. He's not saying, now I'm going to boast in my sickness. It doesn't say that. It says weakness. So I'm weak, and I'll say, yeah, I'm weak, but God's strong through me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul wrote that. He's saying, no, I will do what God has told me to do, and I can do anything that's set before me. There he says, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. Notice it did not say sickness there anywhere. It said weakness, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, and notice this, for Christ's sake. We're not just to suffer things, to suffer. But when we're getting the gospel out, there are things that can come, but it doesn't say that you need to suffer sickness. It doesn't say that you need to, you know, suffer long-term poverty, like you're just broke all the time, but you go in a situation where you lay down some stuff to get into an area and God will prosper you eventually. But Paul himself said, I know how to abound. I know how to be in lack. You know, you may go through some stuff, but that doesn't have to stay. There's a difference because some people also teach, well, God just makes you poor. That's not true. If you're poor for a long enough time, you're not going to get anywhere. I mean, you can't afford to buy. The most extreme circumstance in poverty is you can't eat. There are people that are in dire poverty in this world. They can't feed themselves. They can't do anything for anybody else when they're constantly hungry. You're worried about where you're going to get the next meal. You're not going to be preaching the gospel to people. You're worried about feeding your family. So no, but you know, you might go through some stuff where you're getting something started or whatever, where it's a little bit thinner, but God is always faithful. But he says, you know, you go through some of these things, but it's for Christ's sake. He said, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, you know, people throwing some stuff at you, in distresses, some stuff that, you know, if you let it, could stress you out, but you don't have to. You can look to God. For Christ's sake, he says, for when I am weak in myself, then I'm strong. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. So, we'll keep on moving. But, you know, that's another thing people say. I mean, I've talked to people. And said, you know, said, well, what about that? And, I mean, that's what they believe. Whole big denominations. This is what they're taught. You know, this is, what about Paul? Because they firmly believe. You told them what we're saying here? No, they firmly believe. It is sickness. No, that's what we believe. And it's just religion. And so, you know, you may have heard some of these things before, but write down the scriptures. Know where they are. Somebody brings it up to you, say, well, yeah, you don't have to get in their face and say, well, you're so stupid for believing that. That doesn't help anybody. But you say, well, you know, maybe you used to believe that. Or, yeah, I've heard that too. But what do you think about these scriptures? You know, let me show you this. If they're open, I'm not saying shove it down their throat. You know, that doesn't do anybody any good. But if they really want to know, if they really are wondering, you know, well, what do you think about this? And show them, you know, you don't know. You may see somebody next week. And that could be a blessing to them. But even in the Old Covenant, we read some of these, but let's go back to them. That healing is God's provision. God provided healing in the Old Covenant. He's provided it in the New Covenant. It is always God's will for us to be well. Let's go over to Exodus 15:26. We read it. Let's go through a few of these. If sickness wasn't his will in the Old Covenant, we're talking about the Old Covenant here, but the New Covenant is a better covenant. But you know, we read some of these other things. There were places where people were judged and so forth. But if it wasn't God's will, why did he make provision for people to be healed? He made provision for them to be healed in the Old Covenant. Exodus 15:26. Exodus 15:26. Read a couple of these scriptures. Look at verse 25. It says, so he cried out, they're looking for something to drink. It said, Moses, he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. That's the Lord our physician. He said, just follow me, do what I'm telling you to do, you'll be well and healthy and whole. He made provision for it. If he didn't want people to be healed and whole, he wouldn't have made provision. he wouldn't have said, I'm the Lord your physician. Just turn a few chapters back, Exodus 23, verse 25. I love these scriptures. I say these often, this one, when we pray for our meals, portion of it. Verse 25, Exodus 23, verse 25. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. Look at that. Isn't that just beautiful? So you shall serve the Lord your God. You're going to go after the Lord. You're going to serve him. You're going to be, in this case, they were servants, but we're children. We're his children. We're going to serve him. And he said, he will bless our bread and our water. He's going to bless it. Bless it. That means it's destined for a success. We bless it. That means it's going to be put to good use. He's going to bless our bread and our water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. That means it's not even known in your midst. That's a promise of God to Old Covenant people. He made provision for their healing and said, you don't even have to have sickness anywhere in the midst of you. I mean, that sounds really good. That's not like even some of you, that's like the midst of you. I'm taking it out, wiping it out. And that's God's will. That was his will all the time. Go over to Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7. 13. I tell you what, as you know, these things stick out to you, and I know, you know, many of us have these written, but, you know, just let them give life to you when you go over them, you know, as you go over them periodically, and we ought to go over them periodically. Don't make it a law. Don't say, well, I'm just going to do this. Don't, because we can just do that sometimes, and we make it to where we're going over it, and we're like checking it off in our mind, but we're not really pulling from it. Letting it minister to us. The reason we would go over them continually is to just feed your spirit on these truths. So when you're doing it, look at it and say, yeah, that's true, and draw from it and let the Lord speak to you. And if you get stuck on one verse and he's just speaking, don't try to, well, I got to get the rest of these, you know, sheets of scriptures done or else I'm not going to be healthy. No, don't make it like that. Just look at it, and if something sticks out to you, you can just go over the same verse, and if the Holy Spirit's ministering, just stay there. And just feed on it. Just let him, I mean, if you just got it, just down in your spirit, he will take sickness away from the midst of me. And he will take sickness. He's going to bless my bread and my water. He's going to take sickness away from the midst of me. You just build that into your spirit. That right there, I mean, you could just meditate all day. You can meditate several days on that. I'm not saying you try to do that just to do it. I'm saying, but if it's just God just keeps bringing that back to you, then just stay there. Just get everything you can. Don't move on. Don't interrupt him. Get that, but do build it into your spirit. We don't mean to be like, well, I know that. No, every time we look at it, it's like a refreshing, just pulling it from the Holy Spirit. It's just like new food for our spirit. You're just getting a dose of, it's faith. Faith is being imparted to you because faith comes by hearing. You look at it and say, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've heard that, but it's true. He said he's going to take sickness away from the midst of me. He did that for the old covenant, his servants, and that's mine. He's made a way for me to be healthy and whole, and I'm healthy and whole now. Verse 13, it says, he will love you and bless you and multiply you. So Deuteronomy 7, verse 13, he will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock in the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. So he's promising health to them. He said, your livestock and you're not going to be barren. You're going to bear. Verse 15, and the Lord, this is similar to the other one, the Lord will take away from you all sickness. The Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hates you. Verse 15, the Lord will take away from you all sickness. All. And this is in the Old Covenant. He's made provision in the Old Covenant. And turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. It says, it's talking about some things in the Old Covenant, some places where they messed up, but it says, now these things happened, verse 11, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, all these things happened to them, the Israelites, as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. You know, it says the Old Testament, the things that we have in the Scriptures, they happened to them as examples. We can look and say, this is what happened to them. Well, they had a covenant of healing. And we're to look at that and say, if in the Old Covenant God provided healing, how much more would His children in the New Covenant have healing? Another verse that says that similar thing, Romans 15:4. Turn over there real quick. Same thing. Thank you, Lord. Romans 15, verse 4. It says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. These things in the Old Covenant, they were written for our learning. So we could look. See, even all these things, when you look at the Israelites and see what they did and didn't do, they kept doing and going into circles, we can look at them and we can say, we don't have to do that. We can see their mistakes and we can learn from them. We can see that God had given them a healing covenant and they had a choice to walk in it. And when they did walk in it, they did not have sickness and disease. They didn't. And how much more the church? We have a better covenant, the Word says, with better promises. So God did not leave something out. If He provided healing in the Old Covenant, which we just read, that He said would take sickness away from the midst of Him, that sickness would not be in the midst of you, that He's the Lord our healer, He has provided it in the New Covenant. We have a better covenant by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if the Old Covenant people could walk without sickness and disease, when they left Egypt, it said there were no feeble among them. Then in the New Covenant, we have that right and privilege. Because of what Jesus did on that cross and took those stripes, that we can live in healing and wholeness in the New Covenant. We're not supposed to be just getting by. Why don't you turn over a little bit further back in Romans. We'll close up here in a moment. Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. It said, is the power of God to salvation. Now that word salvation doesn't just mean being saved, as in born again. There's a note in the Scofield Bible, Scout of Salvation. It says the Greek and Hebrew words translated salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and health. So you could say the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ here is the power of God. It says unto salvation, but it's also the power of God, the gospel. The gospel. So we're saying God made provision in the old covenant. Now we're in the new covenant in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could say that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God unto deliverance. It's the power of God unto safety. It's the power of God unto preservation. It's the power of God unto healing and health. The gospel is. It's the power of God unto healing and health. The gospel, the good news, the fact that Jesus came and paid for all our sins, He paid for all our diseases, is the power of God unto healing and health. That is the power. That is the power of God. That God has washed away our sin, He's washed away our iniquity, He's paid for all our sicknesses, and that's the power of the living Christ unto our health. In the new covenant. You see this similarly. Let's turn back. We'll close here. Psalm 103. Give us a good dose of healing faith tonight. Psalm 103. Deliverance, the Greek and Hebrew words translated salvation imply the ideas of deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, and health. Did you get them? Psalm 103:3. Well, let's go to verse 1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 103 is a good psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now, this is in the old covenant, but God has given us a better covenant. It says over in Hebrews, is it 8:6, I believe? Hebrews 8:6. We'll turn there maybe in a minute. Well, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. This is the old covenant. How much more the blood of Jesus has been shed. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your youth or your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That our youth is being renewed like the eagles. Skip down to, verse 17. It says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to His children's children. Psalm 107, 17. Psalm 107, 17, just a few chapters over, a few books over. It says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent His word and healed them. So even when people got themselves in a mess, if they come back and get back under God and get back in line with His word, they were healed and whole and healthy. And that's where we want to live. Ever you find yourself getting out and not doing what God told you, just get back right in. Just don't even stay there. Just get back right in and say, God, no, I blew it. And it said He sent His word and healed them. That's His will, is for us to be healthy and strong and whole all the time. Well, I mentioned Hebrews 8:6. Let's just go over there. We'll close with that statement. Hebrews 8:6. Let's lay your eyes on it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank God. We have just such a precious covenant through our Lord. Hebrews 8:6. Working your fingers out tonight, looking at scriptures. It says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. He has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. So we went through, you know, we showed Jesus, that he is the will of God in action, and that if we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father, that he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. We saw a few different areas we went through, showing some things about the judgment of God and how that's been misinterpreted, and, you know, Paul, and then how the old covenant made a provision for healing, and that in the new covenant, we just have just as much right to healing. We don't have less, we have more. If the servants of God could have health and wealth and go about in the blessing of God, how much more should we in the new covenant? It doesn't mean, you know, some people believe that now we're just wandering through the cold like beggars, don't have anything, should be poor and broke, and if God puts something on you, you know, sickness, you just to bear it. That does, you look in the old covenant and you can see how they were blessed and how the provision was there. How much more now that Jesus has shed his blood and it's on the mercy seat, should we walk in divine healing and prosperity? Amen.